Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the latest episode of the Red Men Weekly podcast, the show where we bring you the best clips from our premium Red Men Plus content from the past week. Say it every week. If you want these shows in full, redmenplus.com is the place to go. You can get them as videos or you can get them in podcast so you can listen to them on the go. Either or, access to both here at redmenplus.com. Sign up and you can listen or watch them all. Let's make a start then with the Biased Football Podcast.
We've got a bit of breaking news. Obviously, we wouldn't normally do loads of Liverpool stuff on the Biased Football Podcast, but James Pearce has just put a tweet out. Liverpool have made a formal request to PGMOL to receive the audio between referee Simon Hooper and VAR Darren England during the process that led to Luis Diaz's goal being wrongly disallowed. Liverpool have made a formal request. Senior Anfield figures who released a statement on Sunday demanding full transparency believe it's a crucial step to establishing both how and why Luis Diaz's goal was wrongly disallowed during the first half. The PGMOL subsequently described it as a significant human error and promised to conduct a review.
I want the audio from the three people in the VAR room now. Yeah. I don't care. The problem about that is if he's just said check complete, there's nothing there that I can sit there and say he's diddled us out of something, because there's no evidence. I want whatever's happened between those three people who've came to that decision. Yeah. I don't want the final decision to the referee. I want what's happened whilst they've sat there and realised, oh crap, what have we done here? How they've came to the decision, and that is the audio I want released. That will never be released. That's the problem.
Can you just read the beginning of that again for me?
Yeah. So, Liverpool have made a formal request to the referee's governing body to receive the audio between, it says between the officials, okay, during Saturday's controversial
report.
But the original tweet said,
the tweet just says between,
to receive the audio between referee Simon Hooper and VAR Darren England.
That's all it says.
So the tweet is slightly contradictory to the article there.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well,
with
they made an
point.
Official request. They tell us specifically what they want.
Yeah,
you know, and they've clearly said we want the officials' audio to be
because that's but it's a hugely important point, that the distinction to Chloe's point, Chris, is that we know it's quite well known what's been said between Darren England and the referee Simon Hooper. It's that thing, and they just go and check complete because apparently they checked the wrong thing. I want to hear, as you're saying, what's happening in that room. What's the full thing from the goal, from the ball in the back of the net, the flag going up? What was the conversation was having? Has anyone gone, I think we've got this wrong? When what is their reaction when the free kick gets taken and not a kick off from the centre circle?
But how do they react to all that? Flag up. Has he said offside?
Has anyone noticed?
Has
it?
Anyone said? Yeah, who's heard offside there? Because it can't have just been the referee. I don't want you just saying check complete. I want
to hear, Simon, what are you doing?
I want to hear those three people who are all looking at that screen.
Darren, his flag's up. Darren, check. No, Darren, don't tell. No, Darren, Darren.
Yeah, that's what I want to hear.
And genuinely speaking, right, if it's that, I'll let it go. Because yeah. Darren England... I focus my entire fury on Darren England, and I want to know why he's ignored that. Like, you know, is he new batteries for his hearing aid?
The club won't be asking for that officially if they don't think there's something in it. So that's, they're not just going to ask for the final bit; they're going to ask for the whole lot. And if they don't get it, then obviously they'll want to know why, and they'll go to law, won't they?
Yeah. Can I tell you the truth? I reckon Liverpool already heard it.
I reckon they might have.
You reckon they've heard it?
I reckon
yeah.
they have.
Yeah.
Because there's no way.
Because the broadcasters have got it. There's all kinds of people will already have the interactions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. They know what they're asking for.
Yeah, yeah.
And they know what they're asking of the PGMOL. And public opinion will sway back to Liverpool if it is not released.
And if that's the case, hopefully they have then asked for that specific part. And that's why it's in the tweet, they've probably just used, maybe James Pearce has just used Darren England and Simon Hooper because those are the two people that people have focused on.
Yeah, yeah.
Where no one's focused on like the other two people in the VAR room.
Dan
Coote or something. So maybe that's why, because the headlines, that everyone can recognise those two names. I'm hoping that Liverpool have done that because I haven't seen anyone else request. Remember when McAllister got a red card? We didn't ask for the audio for that one.
Yeah.
We did not ask for the audio. So there's some reason why Liverpool
Chloe,
have asked
because
the
excuse doesn't wash.
Exactly.
And this is what comes back to it with what has been, and we've saying it all over the podcast today. My head is absolutely frazzled with the idea that three people sat in a room whose job it is to look at the screens and watch the game, that all three of them could have missed that Luis Diaz was flagged for offside. They can't possibly have all been believed wrongly that the goal was given. It's insane.
Mass it is, hallucination.
Honestly, it's beyond insane to think that. So there must be something in there. Somebody, one of those three, must have seen something and tried to flag this. And that's the worst thing for Darren England, is that if someone in that room has flagged it, why has he just pressed on and not taken the time to check it out? And again, it comes back to it. It's going to prove that some people are stupid, but it doesn't, you know, are we going to see that there's corruption in this?
It's almost beyond stupidity, isn't it? Because yeah, yeah. if someone has seen it and no one has done anything about it, then the question is, why haven't you done something about it?
Yeah.
Is that corruption?
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
What's your thought process? Is it not telling someone?
Yeah, exactly. And it's one of those things, is like a bit like, you know, like the guy who has to press the button on the nuclear warhead because he's under instructions and everyone else is going around him. Nah, look, they've given up, mate.
It's like the Manchurian candidate all over again.
Ah, well.
Gone off to the UAE, come back brainwashed. Doesn't know what he's done.
Yeah.
Kills the president.
Yeah, sleeper agent. But yeah, again, this is just a step in the process. But I didn't think they were empty words from Liverpool when they put them at the end of that statement.
The other thing in all of this is you've got the PGMOL and you've got the Premier League and you sign up to the Premier League as a football club in Liverpool. Why aren't you allowed to request the audio for these things?
I know.
I mean, they should. It's a game of football. Ultimately, it's a game that we're all signed up for. We believe that, you know, you want to referee it properly and all that type of stuff. In what grounds could the Premier League turn around and say we can't give you the audio for a decision that's made?
It belongs to us and not you.
Exactly. This is a game of football that we're in a league that we're a part of, and you know it's good money. You make money from it,
particularly because they do now. They've got a show where they put certain aspects of it out. I mean, I'd be interested to know if they do any of that tonight. But
Monday Night Football is must see.
But they've opened up that now, and I think in doing so, I think they thought it'd be enough. It's a bit like when your house is a shithole, but you walk around and put a few bits in the bin. You know what? You go, well, I've left it better than it was when I walked in, and I think the referees feel a bit like, well, we've given you this. Isn't this well better than nothing? It's like actually, in reality,
I mean, if they don't give
we
it
know
to
it
them,
all
Liverpool
exists.
Will just get litigious and. Yeah. You know, we'll get it that way.
Yeah, this is not over by any long shot. What do you think of this? What do you think is going to be in the audio? Do you think incompetence or corruption? Let us know.
told you, Darren England is getting jettisoned.
There is a reason Liverpool Football Club have asked for that audio. I've not seen them ask for it before. I've not seen another team ask for an audio before.
Yeah.
There is something there that
they're asking for it because it's mental. It's mental that three people could possibly think it wasn't offside.
Three people
let it go.
Think it was offside.
Stupid.
I'm surprised it's not been leaked on the internet.
Same,
already.
Actually.
Yeah.
Normally, something like that would get out somewhere.
We'll see. That will. It'll work its way out. It always does.
Cheers to Mate Senior and Junior, and as well to Mr. Page and Miss Bloxham for that one. Moving on then, Journo Insight. Yeah, it was me alongside Neil Jones. And if you haven't heard already, there was a little bit of controversy at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium last weekend involving Liverpool, VAR, referees, etc., etc., etc. I got Neil Jones into the studio to find out exactly what's going on and what Liverpool's reaction has been like and why they're doing it. We'll start with the statement he put out a couple of days ago. I don't want to read word for word, I'm sure you've all seen it, but it started the end bit really. It was, you know, Liverpool are going to explore the range of options available given the clear need for escalation and resolution. And it feels like that this statement has almost turned a bit of mood against Liverpool. I don't know, like, there's been people come out and go, well, what do they want? What do they want? But I suppose that is the question, really. What do they want? What? Because they've asked for the audio as well. I think it's important to mention that. Liverpool's response has been quite firm and heavy-handed, I think is maybe the way to put it.
I mean, what do they want? I think what they want is that this doesn't just become another episode in a litany of, got that wrong, sorry, and move on. You know, I saw it described this week or over the weekend. I think it might have been Martin Samuel. I might have got that wrong. Someone described it as the biggest error that's ever been made in the Premier League. Now, okay, that's a big statement to make, but it's you know, there's not many that you can think of where you go, well, actually, the only one I can think of that's sort of on a level, because it's literally a goal or not, and probably even bigger, is the goal line tech failed Sheffield United against Aston Villa. I think it was the first game after COVID lockdown, and the technology wasn't working, and Sheffield United were denied the goal, ended up getting relegated, I think. That season. So
your Villa stayed up just because of the goal,
That's right. Yeah, I don't think Sheffield United actually did get relegated. I think Villa stayed up. That was it. As a result, so that's the only sort of precedent you can think where it's such a clear and obvious, and that's a phrase obviously that gets used a lot with officials and VAR. Such a clear and obvious error, and when a clear and obvious error like that happens, you can do one of two things. You can say, oh, it doesn't happen often, that, you know, once in a lifetime. Or you can say, actually, well, why has that happened? What can you do about it? It's not the technology that's failing. It's not. I mean, I don't like VAR, full stop. Cards on the table, but that's, VAR wasn't the problem in this situation. The application was, and the language around the use of VAR was the problem. So I think Liverpool's request for the audio is the first step, obviously, and that's clear. Right, what happened? Why was this decision made? What can we change from it to avoid it happening again? Is it specific to these officials? Because I listened to the mic'd up show with Howard Webb when he did it with Michael Owen. And I listened to the clips from that. And I can't believe for one second that if all referees spoke the way that the referees in that programme spoke, I can't believe this decision would ever happen. I can't believe there'd be four people in that room and not one of them would say the word goal or the word onside, or not one of them would go, no, he's flagged. Like, this is an offside goal we're checking. This is not an onside goal. I can't believe, hearing what I have, I mean, there's a clip of Newcastle against Arsenal, penalty gets awarded for a handball. I think it's Kivior, the Arsenal player. And you can hear four different people speaking at the same time, but they're all saying things like, the offside, we're checking the offside phase. It's a penalty. The penalty's been awarded. The penalty's been awarded. It's a handball. It struck his hand. We know it struck his hand. So there's all that clarity is there. Yeah. In this instance, I can't understand how there isn't someone at some point, even if it's the referee on the field, who says, okay, can I just check? No goal. That's all it takes in this instance. And the VAR would say, no, goal. You know, that's as easy as it is. So that's the first thing from Liverpool. What was said? Why was it said? Or why was it not said? Is that protocol? Is that a problem with the protocol and the language that referees are told to use? Or is that these officials using, not following protocol, or going off message, off the track, whatever? And that changes the guidance maybe it's given to the referees, or it costs these referees, you know, games, training they might have to go undergo, or, you know, in extreme circumstances they might not be good enough to referee in the Premier League. Beyond that, I think the other thing that Liverpool are trying to do is just make sure that it doesn't get brushed. It doesn't get, because next week, and listen, you know, it's different, they're all different events, and everyone will go back to, every fan of every club will have their top five. Well, remember this one, remember that one. Tottenham the week before had a penalty against them against Arsenal, which led to Jermaine Genus tweeting about, well, you know what he, well, look at what he tweeted, being warned for his conduct and being told, actually, you're inciting, you know, criticism and hatred against referees. That was the week before. This weekend, there'll be someone else. It might be Crystal Palace. It might be Everton. It might be Luton. There will be these issues and it'll get brushed under the carpet. Liverpool's statement is ensuring that we're talking about this on Tuesday and we'll be talking about it on Wednesday. And we'll be talking about it when the officials are confirmed for the weekend, which, you know, we know they won't include a certain couple. We'll be talking about it after this weekend's game. It'll be remembered because it was such a grave miscommunication error. And when something like that happens, really, it needs to be kept in the spotlight because people need to improve.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's this like theory what Liverpool are after and what they're not after. I suppose that the biggest thing is there's a thing in place now where VAR can, if goal line technology seems to fail, go back to that Villa game, VAR can intervene. I think we've seen a couple of examples where that has happened as well. So that it is almost a change of the process. Do you understand what I've got here, if you don't mind? I wanted this sentence was, the fact that such failings have been categorised as significant human error is also unacceptable because any and all outcomes should be established only by the review with full transparency. So basically, before any review has happened, PGMOL or whoever have already blamed, or they've already just put out. So Liverpool there basically saying, well, how can you say that when you haven't even looked? And if that is the case, then we have the audio to listen to that is the case.
100%. And that's the other thing is, this is... Darren England and Dan Cook are at the centre of the storm, right? And it might be, the review might confirm that was all it was. These two aren't good enough. It might.
Yeah.
But it might also say, do you know what? They've made an error in terms of they've misheard something or they just haven't done this. But really, the protocol and the language that the referees are supposed to use to each other lends itself to this situation happening. It allows this situation to happen. So that's not a human error. You know, the human error might be you didn't spot the flag or you didn't triple check, double check, whatever. But the other error might be, actually, you know what, you've left too many loopholes in there, you've left too much vagueness in the script that referees have to follow. This check complete stuff, this sort of as a military kind of language, you know, this no intervention time. You know, even to the stage where, and I actually wasn't aware of this, you know, we follow Dale Johnson on Twitter, obviously, he's across all this. I actually didn't know that you didn't have to, if they think it's an obvious onside, they don't have to draw the lines and put them up. Now, I mean, you and I watch cricket. How many times do you see, as let's say, an appeal for a catch? Let's say, and you go, no bat involved in this. We'll just check the LBW as well. And you can see from the replay, you go, it's not, this isn't going to be LBW. It's pitching outside leg or it's you know, it's bouncing over the top or whatever. But they still do it just to complete the process because the process is, well, we may as well check, you know. So I don't understand why that wasn't the case where they've gone, look, he looks a yard onside. I think he is a yard onside. Let's just get these lines in. And then we'll just give you that moment. And in some point while you're doing that and you're doing that process, it gives you that time
well,
to sort
have,
of get
it
the
would have
decision.
Come up on the screen. Yeah. It would have came up onside and then everyone would have went, oh, it's a goal. That's when you could have twigged on that you were wrong.
And I think the other thing that's been lost in amongst it, and I thought Jamie Carragher made a good point on Monday Night Football, this sort of following of protocol, and I know it's important in certain areas, you have to, you know, you have rules are in place and protocol is in place and sometimes tough, right? But when the game kicks off, there's not a single world that exists where the VAR and the assistant VAR don't go immediately, why are they taking a free kick? Why is Luis Diaz not celebrating? Why is the scoreboard still say 1-0 to 0-0? Stop the game. Stop the game. And he can explain, go and get the two captains, go and get the two managers and say, listen, this has happened. I really am sorry about this. What we're going to do is we're going to get the lines drawn up on the screen. We're going to put it on the big screen. We're going to tell the fans, sorry, it was a goal. We cocked up. This idea that once the game's restarted, it's like this sacred sort of law that you can't stop the game now because the Spurs have took a free kick. It's like, yeah, you can. You might get a slap on the wrist from IFAB. They might say, do you know what, you didn't follow protocol there. But really, the whole of the rest of the world will say, you know what, fair play. They've held
better
their
than
hands
this.
Up. They've held their hands up. Yeah. They've held their hands up. And you know, listen, it wasn't the last minute of the game. We don't know how it would have turned out. But I tell you what, it doesn't half make a difference if Liverpool go 1-0 up with 10 men in a game rather than going 1-0 down. It changes the mood of the stadium. It changes the mood of Liverpool. It gives them something to hang on to. It means Klopp maybe doesn't make the subs that he makes. It's all these things feed into this idea. And yeah, it's to me, and we won't know until we hear the audio. I know there was a thing Sky said last night that the officials or the VAR officials were aware within 7 seconds, which still feels too long, and the referee didn't find out until half time. Well, we'll see from the audio. You know, if the referee didn't find out till half time, I'm not quite sure whether that's the correct protocol either, because I actually think maybe he should have been given the chance. If they say to him straight away, "Oh God, Simon, we thought you'd said offside, onside. We've disallowed the goal there. That stood a stud. You could have left that in the referee's hands. He might have had the chance to say, you know what, I'm gonna take control of this."
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. The requesting of the audio thing, even that seems to have caused, like, when Virgil van Dijk was sent off, the audio was out and about very quickly. Obviously, because he got an extra ban. I've seen a couple of things about, like, maybe do they want to release it? Is it going to cause a pile on, etc., etc., etc.? With all due respect, that's happening anyway. Like, the fell. If anything, I think if you could hear what happened, maybe it does just to go, you know what? It is obviously an error. It's a bad error. They've absolutely messed it up, but it kind of gets rid of all, like, any theories, because there are people out there who think Liverpool have been done here, like diddled, and I don't believe that. I genuinely, because I know how bad I think refs are, so I can understand there's a bit of incompetence, by the way. Someone's made a mistake, like, it is what it is, but the fact that this has taken a long time to come out, it is leading to, like, there's a lot of theories and conspiracy theories swirling now, which could have been avoided as well.
Yeah, and I think they will release it, obviously, and it'll be, listen, everyone's sort of waiting. It's like the sort of the hottest single of the autumn, isn't it?
Yeah, get on Spotify,
it'll be right off the charts, definitely. But yeah, you're right. In the absence of confirmation, what you get is the speculation, isn't it? And we've seen the clips of, is this the moment where Simon Hooper finds out? And it, you know,
it does
look like it, but you know, that it might not be backed up by the audio, of course. But yeah, until we sort of see that, and I think we will. I think Howard Webb will have to accede to that request. We'll just have to wait. But it's to be honest, when I watched that, like I said, that match officials mic'd up show, my sort of thing was, it's too much jargon.
It's very frantic, isn't it?
It's frantic and it's jargon. So it's in the so of course it's a fast paced game, and listen, the referee's out of breath and he's doing it, but this sort of, I'm checking APP, blah 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 blah. Like, really, the language is too complicated. It things need to be, we're going to check whether it's a handball, we're going to check whether it's offside. And I go back to it. It staggers me that at no point, even when he just confirms the decision, so when he says check complete, I can't believe that he says check complete.
That's it.
Goal stands.
Or doesn't.
Or he's onside or he's offside. I can't believe that there isn't that sort of just finality. It's like in the cricket, isn't it? You can stick with your original decision, he's out. Yeah. Or it's a clean catch, or it's whatever it is, you know, impact in line, wickets hitting. You know, that those things are said, Andy, which confirmed this. I can't believe that he would just say, yeah, that's all sound, that mate. Like, you know, that basically is what they're saying he's done, or what we were told that he's done. It just, if that's the only thing that comes out of it, that, listen, we have this sort of finality of,
if it was onside, check complete, stand, you may award the goal. That's all you got to say. Check complete, that is no goal. Yeah. Yeah, the fact that you don't end it, that could be something that comes out of this, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely.
In which case,
I think there's another thing as well. I think there's almost there's been this sort of drive that it takes too long. It takes too long to do make a VAR. That one felt it was almost done with that sort of in mind. It was like, don't take too long. Look, that's fine. It's all good. When maybe there should be a thing of like, yeah, it's a standard sort of time of, even if it's an obvious sort of decision, we're going to take a 30 seconds or whatever, where it's just like, right, we're going to get all our, you know, let everyone breathe, let everyone sort of settle down, and say to the referee, yeah, that's a red card, that's an offside, that's a goal. And yeah, whatever happened on Saturday, just was just weird, playing weird.
I'm going to bring up a tweet here, if you don't mind, from, if I can find it, from Ollie Cave. Because a lot's been made, and I know Paul Joyce wrote about it, about the officials going to the UAE. And then,
yeah,
again, it's lend itself to conspiracy theories, but worst case is, there's a question to be asked, is flying to the UAE or Saudi Arabia on a Thursday before you referee a Premier League game, or even VAR on a Saturday? So that's been brought up, and I'll bring Ollie Cave's tweet here. Says, I'm not questioning the integrity of anyone involved, but it's crazy for Webb and the PGMOL to allow officials to freelance in the UAE or Kingdom of Saudi Arabia whilst also working in the Premier League. Again, it not only does it raise questions of
perceptions,
it's just like same thing, it's just conflict of interest. These questions all get brought up, but worst case is, why are you flying there for on a Thursday when you've got a game on a Saturday? It's like Liverpool play a Thursday in the Europa League, they're not playing games on Saturday.
No, yeah, you're
so
right.
There is some, especially.
That doesn't come down to the referees in question, really. That comes down to the Howard Webb and the people who appoint them, of course. I mean, maybe that's something that comes out of it. Listen, you know, your calendar needs to be better spreads. You know, you can't be doing. I mean, they were meant to do. Darren England was meant to do a game on the Sunday as well. Forrest Brentford was.
I don't think the guy who replaced him did any better, by the way. Penalty decision. Jesus Christ, the goalkeeper assaulted someone. And,
exactly. Mad. Yeah. Well, Dan Cook was meant to work Monday at the Fulham Chelsea game.
Yeah.
So they were meant to be doing two games in a weekend when they've done a midweek game. Even that alone, and I know. Look, your VAR, you're sitting in a room and you're doing this, but listen. What it lends itself to, no one can say for sure that happened because of that.
No.
But what you can say for sure is that when something like that happens, then that's going to get looked at.
Yeah.
That's going to get looked at. People are going to ask questions. Say, well, hang on, what were you doing? You know, why would you make such a basic, avoidable error? And maybe that's another thing that comes out of it, you know, that you can't do it. I'm pretty sure that won't become the case because money. But at the very least, that if you're reffing on a Thursday night, I'd be surprised. Obviously, Anthony Taylor and Michael Oliver do the European games. I'd be surprised if they'd done a Europa League game on a Thursday night, if they were on a Premier League game on a Saturday. It just doesn't feel like that should be the case. Personally,
thanks to Neil for that one. Yeah, that story continues to rumble on and will continue to rumble on for goodness knows how long. Right, then next up, the deep dive. You've got Chris and Josh Williams. They had a little look about the suspensions, of course, via the Spurs game. Liverpool are going to be without Curtis Jones for 3 games, Diogo Jota for 1. What is Jürgen going to do? How are Liverpool going to get around not having those two players? That was the topic of conversation on this week's deep dive.
For this one, we want to take it forward, look a little bit at the Union Saint-Gilloise and the Brighton Hove Albion Football Club potential star 11s that Jürgen's going to select. So, first and foremost, mate, I've sort of had the impression over the last couple of weeks, Josh, that there was a Europa League / Carabao Cup team and a Premier League team. It's felt pretty safe to assume that, given the games that we've seen so far. It's kind of not really possible anymore because of the aftermath of Tottenham Hotspur, is it?
Yeah, and that's a shame because I think it was working out quite interesting, I thought, because the second string team was playing in the same way, using the same shape and all that sort of stuff. And they were kind of playing in a way that kind of like, you know, let me try and grab the share for the first teamers, and anyone who was impressing could potentially start for the first teamers sooner rather than later. But now we're going to have to rotate a little bit. Obviously, Gakpo's injured. Jones and Jota are suspended for the coming weekend against Brighton. Jones potentially even longer than that. So, yeah, it's not ideal, but it gives us something to talk about at least.
It does, doesn't it? I mean, first and foremost, obviously with Jones and Jota not going to, more than likely going to be used in this one. There's a really interesting Ryan Gravenberch conversation, I think, in here, because I think he's got to be playing for a role in the game against Brighton. You've got Harvey Elliott, who might be looking ahead at Brighton and thinking, I can get in the side. As it stands at time of filming or live streaming this one. Oh, by the way, we are live streaming, so if you want to get your comments in, we can actually bring them up during the show this time around. Anyone who's watching live. Obviously, we don't think Thiago's going to be involved. It looks like he's had a little bit of a setback. You know, Stefan Bajcetic had a little bit of a setback, so not likely to be involved in either of these games. So Ryan Gravenberch is a really interesting one. From, let's say, Gravenberch, Harvey Elliott, where does he see the pecking order right now?
Well, I think it's insistent that, like, if you look at the makeup of the midfield, it depends really what side of the pitch they're playing on for me. Like, I think Elliott is very clearly favours the right side of the pitch in the same kind of vicinity as Salah, whereas I think Gravenberch is the opposite, favours the other side of the pitch. I think he's a bit more of a natural over there and things like that. But if Jones is now going to be involved, it does kind of play with the puzzle a little bit, because Jones would probably occupy the same spot as Gravenberch. Obviously they can't both play there, so maybe you move Elliott away from the midfield for this one-off game against Uni SG. Maybe he does a Salah impression, or attempts to do a Salah impression at least. But yeah, we've got lots of options there, but I think we've got players who favour specific sides of the pitch, which is not really a problem. I don't think Klopp stresses too much about it. I think over the past couple of years, the midfield department that he had, Wijnaldum, Henderson and that, they had specific sides, didn't he? But
you'd see Henderson pop up on the left occasionally, wouldn't you? Not very often, but you would see it.
Yeah, I think over time everyone plays everywhere is the bottom line, but I do think we have players who favour specific spaces, and it's going to be interesting to see how we use that during the week in the Europa League.
So let's go back to the goalkeeper. I think it's pretty safe to assume there's going to be Creedon Kelleher for this one at Anfield.
Yeah.
Back four. I mean, when I first wrote my team, then I went through my team on the podcast yesterday for this one. When I first jotted it down, I did think, okay, Jones could play right back again. But then I went, do you know what? No, I'll stick with, I think I went with Joe Gomez in the end. But there is a conversation around the strength at minutes.
Yeah, there is. It's a tricky one, because he's just kind of got a few minutes against Spurs. But before that, he hadn't played for a month. And we've got a really tricky test against Brighton coming up in the Premier League. So Trent could get minutes, whether it would be maybe like one half or maybe, you know, an hour on the dot and then he comes off or something like that. But I still think he will probably start on the bench, basically. I think Jones is an interesting shout, though, to start as a right back, because obviously he did that against, was it Leicester?
Yeah.
He did that against Leicester. And even though we've got a few injuries now, we've got a few suspensions and things like that, I think we've still got enough options in the midfield to get by with Jones as a right back. And you've got to bear in mind as well, just touched on Gravenberch favouring the left, which is where Jones would play if Klopp's going to play him, because he's now going to miss the Premier League game. So that'll be a way of getting Jones and Gravenberch both on the pitch without them kind of stepping on each other's toes. But I think
the knock-on effect of that, sorry Josh, though, is that if you take, let's say, for the sake of argument, my team was Harvey Elliott on the right-hand side.
Yeah.
If you take Harvey Elliott up from the right-hand side, put him into the midfield with Gravenberch and play Jones at right-back, and this was how my thought process went, who are you playing up front? Because Salah almost has to start.
Yeah.
Because there's no... The Jota's going to start. There's no Gakpo. You kind of want to rest Diaz if you can.
Yeah.
And you kind of want to rest Salah if you can.
Nunes.
Again.
Probably want to rest him. You've got a big game coming up, mate.
So that's what I mean, but you take Elliott out of the forward line and you've essentially got Jota.
Yeah.
And you want to rest Salah, Nunes and Diaz.
Yeah, it's
balancing act, isn't it?
Yeah, it is tricky. And again, it goes back to that thing that we keep mentioning on the show in terms of the left-footed thing. Like, Harvey Elliott does offer that on this side of the pitch. Nobody else can do that. I know Doug's played there a few times, but he's right-footed, and that's why he tends to dart towards the byline a lot of the time rather than cutting inside like what we're used to seeing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think he's got a possibility of playing there. But I think because Trent is now back available, Trent's going to play there in the Premier League, which means Gomez is going to get benched in the Premier League. So if you want to give Gomez some minutes, it probably comes here again. Unless you want Gomez to start in the back two ahead of Kwanzaa.
Okay.
Is Kwanzaa... I mean, to be fair, I think he's done really well, but Klopp didn't start him in the first Europa League game, did he? He started him in the Carabao Cup against Leicester. So it depends whether you want him on a pitch, but I think Gomez will start right back, personally.
Yeah, I had it as Joe Gomez at right back, Konate with Kwanzaa, Kostas Tsimikas at left back. I had Endo in my six.
So you'd have Konate ahead of Matip, yeah?
Yeah, Matip's in my first team still.
Is he, yeah? So for Brighton, you'd have Matip starting?
Still, yeah. Okay, I had this conversation last week about, who was having this conversation with me last week, and they were like, wouldn't you start Konate because of Thingy's pace? I'm like, no. Like, I really like Matip. I think he's really good. And listen, I know that Konate is going to be a better player, I think, in the next year or so when Matip starts to come down and Konate continues to improve. But I think what Klopp's always done is it's your shirt. I don't think I think taking Matip out of the Premier League game now after what happened at Tottenham as well is a bit like, ugh.
Yeah,
it's a bit of a sickener. I don't think it would do him any good. Do you know what I mean?
That's a good point, yeah.
So I'd go with Konate and Konsa, Tsimikas, Endo in the six, Jones and Gravenberch. I'm not bothered which way around, but I did throw Gravenberch on the left-hand side. I went Elliot on the right. Interestingly, as a wild shout, I went Doak on the left-hand side to cut inside. I thought that could be an interesting experiment.
Mm.
And I went with Jota up front, and I'm resting all three of my forward players, but there is, again, a talking point around Jota and Nunes, because is Nunes the right guy for Brighton and all that type of stuff? Actually, we'll come on to that a little bit later. What would you do with the Union Saint-Gilloise?
Well, I think the only interesting thing that I'd touch on about your team is I think Konate might have to come in for Brighton. And the reason I think that is because you've got Matoma over here.
Yeah.
And if Trent is back in the team, Trent is going to be over here a lot.
Yeah.
So Matoma's going to get told, stay on the flanks, use that space. And if Matoma is constantly engaging in 1v1 battles with Matip, I would be concerned.
Okay.
If that's Konate, I think he just has the qualities to cope with him a bit better. Think of like the Champions League final when it was Vinicius over there. He started Konate, didn't he, ahead of Matip, who was on the bench for that final. You got to bear in mind as well, it might do Matip some good to immediately get back on the pitch at the first possible opportunity, and he can do that against Union SG. But other than that, I agree with your team. I'd be interested to see Doak as an inside forward rather than as a winger. I think that's an interesting experiment. I think Jota has to play there, considering he can't play in the Premier League now. And I think he's better, to be honest, through the middle anyway, compared to on the flanks. But yeah, it'd be an interesting little experiment for us to conduct. And again, you've still got a few players on the pitch who want to grab the shirt. I think Bobby Clark has potentially got a shout to be involved to some extent, potentially in the midfield somewhere. But it depends how confident we are going into this. Obviously, we still need to get the win. But if you look at Uni SG's squad, I mean, I don't recognise any of them.
Nope.
So,
nope.
Not going to pretend like...
Is it Kevin McAllister and that's it?
Yeah.
It is literally...
Well, his name, like, by the way.
He'll never get on the plane. sorry, everybody. I'm so sorry. That's terrible.
That was awful, but it worked.
It's terrible. I mean, the podcast listeners, I literally had my hands at the side of my face while I said that. It was so bad. all right, we'll move on then, Brighton, because this is probably the more interesting side of things. I mean, they absolutely had our pants down last season, Brighton and Hove Albion, didn't they? And how do we stop that from happening again in this game?
Well, do you think that was our worst of the season?
Yeah, I think so.
You've got a lot to choose from.
There was a sheer gulf in class. There was other wet games where I felt like...
I think people have put Wolves out there. Remember Wolves 3-0 loss, I think it was.
Yeah, to be fair, like, that was pretty bad as well.
I think even United away, mate, was really bad. I think it was only 2-1. The goals we conceded were embarrassing. But I think the Brighton game...
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, was it?
Yeah, put that one out of my mind.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
They made us walk about an extra 45 minutes to our car because they wouldn't let us go the normal way to our car as well. And we had to walk out and get screamed at by Man United fans. They literally funneled us through two things of United fans. They were screaming at us and then they shut off the way to our car, which was a 5-minute walk. And because of the stupid canals, we had like a 45-minute, 50-minute walk to get there at fucking 11 o'clock at night. It was a joke.
Just an all-round bad day, that.
It was a terrible day. And Chloe was dead ill as well, so I had to put up with her whinging all day.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Thanks to the absolute two Stato legends, Chris and Josh. Moving on then, Red Men Reacts. We do this show, as the name suggests, as and when any significant breaking news happens. We all jump in the studio, we have a good old chinwag about it, and we give our initial thoughts. This time, it was me, it was Chloe, and it was Dan reacting to the PGMOL releasing the audio of the Luis Diaz incident, and yet we all watched it, we all listened to it, and yet we reacted to it on Red Men Reacts. And I'll be honest, we didn't really feel any better about it. At no point, and this will baffles me, and I can't believe this hasn't been a thing, and I think the recommendations from PGM or after that, are they going to do this? There is not one time where anyone says, we're checking the original decision is offside. Like, again, we watch all sports, so in rugby it'll be, I've awarded the try,
yeah,
but, or in cricket, the original decision is out,
yeah,
but I watch the NFL,
yeah,
and it's even the same. Mm-mm. The ruling on the field is completed catch. That is under review. At no point does anyone say anywhere, Luis Diaz's goal, the original decision is offside, we are checking if that's correct. They just say, checking offside. So that, again, I know they're going to change that, but oh my God, they've been doing this for years, and that was, how is that not a thing? I just presume, again, maybe more fool me that I trusted their competency more than I should have. There's got to be, at some point, the first conversation should be, we're checking, the original decision is this. And the fact that wasn't a thing, that just blew my head. I was like, they haven't once suggested what the thing is here. This is mad.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. And it's mad because Chloe's right in as much as everyone watching that, they can see what the decision is. We all know what this is. Luis Diaz stops celebrating. Liverpool don't go wild. The score doesn't change. The line has got his flag up.
The ball is not halfway line.
Yeah, exactly. The goal's been disallowed. So you should be of the opinion that the person watching it, whose sole purpose it is to watch that and get that decision right in terms of what they think's happened, they should know. So it should be foolproof, but clearly it isn't. Clearly it's not idiot proof. So you're right to the point. There should then be an explanation, because the same applies in cricket. When you watch a game of cricket unfold, you know whether the umpire's giving him out or not. You can tell by what's happened. The guy starts walking off, whatever it may be, they review it. But they still reiterate what the original decision
just
was.
Just to make sure.
Just to make sure, because then it is foolproof. You're right. They're doubling down on what's happened, so there can be absolutely no grey area. There can be no, oh, I forgot what you said, sorry. And you would have thought the football would have learned lessons prior to this happening, but it's taken, what are we now, are we 4 or 5 years into the inception of VAR, and still it takes this to happen for the most simplest of rule changes to be applied. It is so daft, and I thought, like you, we were dealing with I thought we were dealing with competent professionals who were getting paid good money and they knew what they were doing. Therefore, did you really, even that was in place already, or did you really need it? Because surely no one could be that bad at the job. Turns out you did need it, and they can be that bad at the job.
The problem I have is, I'm pretty sure Howard Webb came out on Sky Sports the other day and brought audio with him, and on the audio they did state what the hell they were looking at. They stated what was given on the field, what they were looking at, and why they believed it needed to be overturned or needed to be looked at. So they were actually there in the audio that Howard Webb put on Sky Sports to make VAR look wonderful. So if it's, why is it happening in some and not
because
in others?
I think that's when they're changing a decision. He thinks the decision's onside, so right, he doesn't do it. That's my point. Even then, there's got to be a word, yeah, where you go, the ref just says,
a checklist almost.
There's a list of saying, yeah. We're checking it now, the original decision was offside. And then that would have given the ref, if he goes, the original decision was onside, and then the linesman, the ref, somebody else, the seven officials they've got could have gone, no.
It wasn't.
If he says the original decision is offside, then none of this happens.
The only thing is, though, is that the lineman does say, I am pulling that back for offside, mate.
Yeah, but
so you've literally got the decision
there.
He should know. Like, he's just not taking any notice at all to anything. But the other thing, Aaron made the point earlier, is that they're coming out and saying, you know, as a response to this and this error, what we're going to do is we're going to tell our, you know, officials that it is important that we get the correct decision, even if it takes longer than just hurrying it up. But that was the whole point of VAR to begin with. It was that no matter how long it took, at least we'd come down to the correct decisions. So that is what I was told and what I was believed.
They put an emphasis on speed this season. They put more of an emphasis on speed, which you're right, has meant this has happened, basically.
Exactly, you know? But they didn't do it against Calvert-Lewin, which took them over 3 minutes to come to a conclusion if he was onside or off.
This is the point, is that it isn't, because it's such an easy one to get right. If that had been a goal and they made us wait for 2 minutes, we would have all kicked off and said, that's obviously onside. Mm. It's the fact that's the problem. The main problem comes from, for some reason, and I'm going to say this because we're on the paywall, some fucking idiot, some dickhead has decided to not understand the rules of football or not understand his job, and he just thinks it's onside because it's obvious. I don't get it. What, I don't know. Again, the screen's in there. He can see the goal go in.
There's no
celebration. The ball is in the free kick position. Like, the refs with an arm telling them to wait. That's what does my head in about it. But that aside, Dan, we've gone through that. Listen, he's an idiot. He's a fucking dickhead. It's wrong. The doubling down, and I felt at the time, and I might be wrong on this. So I thought Simon Hooper knew, because there's that bit where he gulps and it turns out he probably didn't, because he can't hear these conversations. This is the point of, and again, I've seen people come out, well, the laws of the game say that he wanted to be started. He himself's going, he swears, wonder what he says, and then he goes, can't do anything, I just can't do anything. Oh my God, I can't do anything. Like, he's panicking, you can hear it in his voice. I think if I was a match official or whoever, I would be quite comfortable with him saying, when that ball goes out for a throw-in, stop the game a second, Simon, I want to tell you what's happened here. Mm-hmm. Here's what's happened, what do you want to do about it? Do you want to speak to Jürgen and Ange and tell them? Yeah. And maybe Ange will let Liverpool kick one in. That's an option. We've seen it before. Like, things. There's. Do you want to give the goal anyway? Shall we just fuck the rules off and say, listen, we either double down on a bad decision or we break the rules. We'll take the slap on the wrist, but Liverpool are correctly 1-0 up. Mm-hmm. The fact that he doesn't inform the man who's in charge of the football match just doesn't tell him anything. And all he's saying to me is, can't do anything. It's a bit like, you know, as a kid, my dad bought me a car and I crashed it after a day. And I remember sitting in the car with Claire at the time, and I did the park car, and I was going, I can't tell my dad. And she was like, you fucking crashed the car, Steve. He's probably going to find out. You might as well tell him. Yeah. Like, that was the same. Like, this fella's going to find out. They're going to know. The world knows you can't hide this error. Own up to it now and see if you can fix it.
Yeah.
They didn't do that. They just waited. And by that, nothing's happened. There wasn't even an option for the ref to go, you know what, we'll do something about it. They didn't know. And that, for me, is astoundingly bad.
No, it is, 100% it is, yeah, because for the betterment of the game, like, it might have been unprecedented to do what you're talking about there in terms of stopping the game after the fact and going back and either just awarding the goal or speaking to the managers. You'd like to think that both managers, obviously Klopp, would have been on board with this, but even Ange would have been, okay, you know, it's a bit mad, but I get it, like, you've made the mistake, let's go 1-0 down, essentially. It would have been unprecedented, but the mistake, the error, was so unprecedented that it warranted such actions, like, without a shadow of a doubt, because doubling down on a horrendous error like that has made you look so, so stupid. Like, there would have been a little bit of, like, that was a bit weird, wasn't it? But it would have been done. Whenever the game finished, if that goal had been awarded, the conversation might have gone on for 5 minutes after the fact.
Should Ange have done that?
That would have been it. We wouldn't be sat here on a Wednesday morning, but nearly, what is it now, nearly 100 hours after the fact, going, that's a bit, what's happened? You know what I mean? How has this got to this? It's so, so bad. And people would have watched this, of course, but I spoke to Christina, the FIFA referee, yesterday, and she even said, even though it was so out of protocol, even she, as a lawyer, a referee, a VAR, who's told you can't do this, she would have been tempted to go, do you know what? This is a bit outside the box, but we need to make this right. We've got to interact now and get this goal awarded, which, however way we do that, because that's the sensible, the common sense approach. And they might have got a telling off. They might have got suspended for a week, whatever, because they broke protocol.
That's all you'll get now.
But it would have been the best outcome. It's the right. You can't ignore something as significant as a goal. I made this point last night on Twitter. Like, if there's two balls on the pitch, they stop the game immediately. If a dog runs on the pitch, they stop the game immediately. But if something like a goal has gone in 5 minutes earlier or whatever it may be that hasn't been awarded, oh no, we can't do anything about that. Sorry.
The game's restarted 20 seconds ago.
Insanity. Utter insanity. And you're right. To not have the wherewithal and the common sense and the knowledge to go, do you know what? A little bit mad. Probably shouldn't do this, but it's 1-0 Liverpool. Let's fix it. It's nuts.
The difference is that they took the free kick and absolutely nothing came from it. It went straight to Alisson Becker. Then we go up the pitch and we've got a throw-in. Not really to come from that. It's just gone out of play. It's about 30 seconds, if that, after the absolute mess-up. And if you were in a lower league stadium where it wasn't as simple as to tell everyone what's going on, fine. But you're in a stadium that's new, that's got four massive screens and a person who can vocalise exactly what's going on. You've got a VAR computer to show exactly what's happened. All you had to do was go, Jürgen, and something's happened here. I'm going to actually show you, so you've got proof of it as well. Just come over to the VAR, come and have a look at the monitor, and I'll show you exactly what's happened. We'll also show it on the four massive screens in this thing that everyone inside the stadium, and we'll notify Tottenham's announcer and they can tell you exactly what's happened. It was that simple.
Bit mad, but no one would have argued. They had ample opportunities to do that. I completely agree with you, and the fact they didn't is just nuts to me.
And it's interesting because I've seen a few, obviously loads of ex-refs have been in the media talking about this.
Yeah.
And they were all saying, like, you know, this wasn't in the rules to have this in place because it should never happen. It's that unprecedented that a check has happened and they've come, even if you disagree with VAR, a decision they make, they've at least made their decision correctly in their eyes.
Yeah.
So, for example, I was thinking the penalty decision in Nottingham Forest Brentford, it's a pen. It just is.
Yeah.
But someone's looked at that, he's taken the time, and he said to the referee, no penalty, check complete, or whatever he said, check complete. He doesn't think it's a penalty. This guy in the booth thinks it's offside. He thinks it's onside the goal. He thinks it's, that's a difference, Dan.
Yeah.
That isn't someone saying, you disagree what we're saying, but he's inadequately...
Got the wrong end of the stick.
It's a communication issue. It isn't a decision-making issue. It's a communication issue. Even the guys who draw the wrong fucking lines, they think it's offside. They don't think it's onside. The game... This is my point in that I think, you know, laws are... Yeah, respect the law, blah, blah, blah. But sometimes the right thing to do is to go, you know what, that's fucking stupid. Like, it just is absolutely stupid, and we just ignore that, and we crack on, and we take the slap on the wrist. There was nothing in place to do it, but because he's, again, it's almost like he's hidden behind the fact of the rules of the footy. We've seen the games before, mate. Listen, we've seen, like, you know, the rules of footy say a foul's a foul, but refs are lenient sometimes. Mm. That's his first yellow. I might let him away with that one, or they'll really want to send him off for arguing back with me, you know, things like this. Yep. They bend the laws all the time. They, you know, they do it all the time. They could have done it here, and that's what does my head in. He's gone. He's just gone. Can't do nothing. If I smashed a bottle of water on the floor here, glass bottle, it went everywhere. I can't do it. No, fucking fix your error, you fucking dickhead. Yeah, yeah. Like, that's what wound me up.
Well, he made himself public enemy number one by not doing anything. Getting it wrong in the first place is bad, but then not rectifying it after the fact, once you've realised your mistake, is just makes it 10 times worse. And that's where we are now because of the audio. But he had the opportunity there to garner some respect. Like, they're big at the minute on respect to referees and sort of, you know, they're doing the job to the best of their ability, they're professional, so on and so forth. But they had the opportunity to really sort of go up in everyone's estimations. If they'd have come back and fixed that, Tottenham fans might not have liked it, but outside of that, every single football fan would have been like, do you know what, fair play, like, they've made a huge error, but straight away a bit of common sense has been applied. They've actually broke protocol to make sure that the best of the game has been achieved and the right outcomes happened.
Yep, cheers to Dan and Chloe for that one. And yeah, listen, it is what it is. We all agree those people are incompetent at best, maybe at worst. There's been plenty more going on. We'll leave it for now until more comes with it, of course. Finally then, Liverpool do have a game this weekend as well. Liverpool play Brighton and Hove Albion on Sunday afternoon. I was delighted to be joined by Seagulls fan Adam McDonald to have a little look ahead to Liverpool versus Brighton. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Redmen TV. It's time for our latest Oppo preview. This time, I'm delighted to say joined by Adam McDonald of Seagull Central as we look ahead to Liverpool's clash with Brighton at the weekend. Yeah, both of these sides, of course, played last night at time recording in the Europa League, hence why me and Adam probably both look lads who have worked late. With all due respect to Adam, he looks much better than I do time in the morning. But yeah, Adam, that's, I suppose, let's just start with that, mate. Like I say, it's two games into a Europa League campaign now for Brighton. How do you think the team, the manager, the fans are finding that so far?
I think, I mean, for the fans, from that perspective, it's a complete dream come true. It's the wildest ride ever. And I think whatever happens, Brighton fans are going to be, you know, delighted with this Europa League run. Whether it does mean we don't get through the group, whatever happens, we've got some amazing away days. Marseille, we're going to Amsterdam, Greece. It's going to be fantastic. Listen, I think Brighton are learning, you know, they're learning at the moment. They're adapting to something new. Two games, three games in a week. It's something that Brighton aren't used to. The squad isn't used to. And I think we are looking a bit tired. I think we're struggling a little bit lately. I think last night really kind of showed that. The atmosphere, particularly, I think, in Marseille was just, it was electric and something that Brighton aren't really used to in kind of the domestic scene that they play in. But they did really well, came back, got a really hard fought kind of draw, despite not really playing well, showed, you know, as De Zerbi described it, they showed big balls to kind of come back into the game. So, it's been a decent start in the Europa League, but I think we're yet to show our kind of true kind of form as we have last season, to be honest.
You mentioned there about the bit of a hamster wheel of every game midweek weekend.
Yeah.
It does feel, like I say, Brighton's form. Listen, Brighton are sixth in the table, which is a really fantastic start. But if you just look at some of the results, like obviously the Villa one stands out a lot. That's just a complete shock. But probably losing against West Ham for the first time since literally anyone can remember. Yeah. It does feel like, I don't know, like Brighton just... They are where probably, you know, six is really good, but a little bit of inconsistency, some really, really strong results going to Man United and winning, but then getting beat by Aston Villa. Is that kind of the story of the season so far? Really quite ups and downs?
I think completely, and I think maybe Brighton fans are a victim of kind of thinking that, you know, they'll build on their success last season immediately, and despite, you know, losing McAllister, losing Caicedo, losing all these players, that will do the Brighton thing and just continue kind of developing and finding the next best player. Now, we've got some fantastic players, but it does seem like we are maybe missing, you know, Alexis McAllister and Moises Caicedo. I think particularly in the West Ham game, particularly in that Aston Villa game, we looked leggy in midfield. We looked weak in midfield. I think we really do look like we've lost an aspect of our spine. So I think the Man United result was fantastic and we did well to come back from behind against Bournemouth at home. We're still kind of just looking a little bit ropey in certain areas. So I think particularly midfield is where we're kind of looking the most ropey. But I think that's the kind of thing that will probably get ironed out as kind of Brighton get into the kind of routine and the thrust of kind of playing three games in a week, maybe rotating a lot. De Zerbi's been rotating the team a lot, six changes, eight changes. I think he made 11 changes not that long ago. So I think it's a difficult time, but I think it's one that Brighton just need to try and adapt to be honest.
Mason, I must be hoping the injury bug as well, because sometimes, you know, when you sell players McAllister to Liverpool, obviously Caicedo to Chelsea, it always felt like Brighton had the next one in, and within Cissé, of course, he looked like he was the man. He had a really good end, and of course now he's out injured, which again, and I know Milner's had an injury, Lallana's been injured. It does feel like the guys you had in that midfield injury room, there's been quite a few of them missing, which might explain, like you say, why there's been some ups and downs in there.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like, we've got great players in there. Mo Dahoud come from Borussia Dortmund. Billy Gilmore's looked absolutely like fantastic for us, but no one really in that mold of kind of like the ball winner. You know, obviously Caicedo was, I think, a world-class player in doing that. And I think McAllister actually is able to do that as well. And at times when we couldn't play Caicedo, McAllister was really adept at kind of sitting deep, putting a foot in and kind of being able to kind of play that role. And I think we're just not having that exact profile of player, I think it's been something that we just looked a little bit lightweight. And, you know, whilst the production line is great in terms of bringing in Cissé through, we've got a player called Buonanotte, he's looking great. You know, we've signed a player who's coming in January. These are kind of attacking players. I think we maybe neglected that kind of defensive midfield. Obviously, it's a very difficult position to scout for. But, Yeah, so I think that's kind of catching up with us a little bit. But we've got Carlos Baleba, who we brought in the summer after selling Moises Caicedo. Looks like a top player, but just not really got the minutes yet, not adapted to kind of De Zerbi ball or the Premier League yet. So it'll be interesting to see how he does and kind of whether that will make a difference, I guess.
Absolutely, mate. Can I say then, obviously, we haven't seen too much of James Milner. Obviously, he left Liverpool in the summer to go and join Brighton. He's been injured. I think he might be fifth for the weekend. But what's the James Milner experience been like so far? Has he settled in well down there?
Yeah, he's settled in really well by the sound of things. Joel Veltman last season was kind of playing right back for most of the season and looked like a top player for Brighton, a player that we all love. And he did play last night in Marseille, but James Milner started the first kind of 3-4 games of the season playing at right back, looking really assured. I think we tried to play him a little bit in midfield in a game. I think he played the kind of last 20-30 minutes in the game coming on in midfield. Looks pretty decent. But I think it's just having that experience, having that kind of culture setter. I think that was what was really kind of, that was the point made when he was brought in, along like players like Danny Welbeck, of course, Adam Lallana, ex-Liverpool as well, you know, players who can come in. And whilst we got a really young side, a developing side, a side that's learning, kind of having those players in who can, you know, really help build that culture and build a kind of winning mentality. I love him. I think he's been brilliant. I think throughout this season, even if he's only here on a one-year deal, I think he'll be so useful in terms of what he can impart on kind of other players. But yeah, he's looked good. I think there was a little bit of chat in his last game about him looking a little bit leggy at right back, or maybe he was at left back, I can't remember. And then he was injured. So he's injured now at the moment. So I don't know whether that was kind of that showing a little bit. But I suppose when you're kind of 37 or however old he is, it's kind of to be expected. But yeah, I think I wouldn't say we're loving it so far, but you know, he's shown that he's a top, top, top player.
Absolutely amazing. We've seen him play fullback and get a bit leggy at times. Well, I can engage me on with that. I can probably relate to that one.
Thanks very much to Adam for joining me, and thanks for you guys for listening to this episode of Red Men Weekly. Like I say, if you want those shows in full, redmenplus.com is the place to go. And while I've got your attention, head on over to redmenmerch.com. I know what you're saying, Steve. It's only the start of October. Why are you talking about Christmas products? Well, our new knitted Christmas jumpers are available for pre-order now. Because they are knitted, and because you know what shipping's like in and around the festive period, we've opened the pre-orders early doors to make sure you get your chance to make sure you get them. So yeah, pre-orders are being taken until October 16th. If you do that, they'll be posted and shipped out on the 16th. So get yourselves involved, redmenmerch.com. Go and check it out. It's all over our socials. If you want an audio description, think Alison Becker's 18-19 black goalkeeper kit with the gold trimmings, but turned into a festive, wonderful Christmas jumper. So if you want to get your hands on those, they are available. Go and check them out over at Red Men Merch. I know it's only October. We haven't even had Halloween yet. You guys listening to over in America, you haven't even had Thanksgiving. I am very much aware, but it is because A, they're knitted and the manufacturing time takes a while, so these orders need to be in. And secondly, festive postage, international shipping during the festive period. We want to get it done as early as we can to make sure you guys have got them in time for your Christmas parties, your Christmas jumper days, and of course the day itself. Right, thanks very much for listening to this episode of the Weekly. We'll do another one next week. See you all soon.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.